of coffee and to connect with one another after the service. Couple of announcements for us. Many of you went to the party of parties at the Averitt's house and got all kinds of ideas of how to improve your own home. The next party of parties event is going to be afternoon tea at the Collister's house. And so information on that is in here as well. I continue to encourage you, if you have something to teach, if you have something to share, if you have something special that you have. I heard one other church had somebody who had a telescope in their backyard and invited people over for a, you know, star watching, you know, party. So people, you all have really interesting lives and talents. And so if you think of something, we'd love to have you host. The person who's doing the drama is talking about helping to host a murder mystery thing in the fall. So if there are things you have to offer, please be in touch with the hospitality committee about that, or show up because it's fun to go to these things. Speaking of drama, we do have our Vacation Bible School. It's a performing arts camp this year, and we'll be doing a Max Lucado story about You Are Special, which will help the children and youth know that each and every one of them is created and beloved, and therefore doesn't need to hang on to the labels that other people try to stick on them. You're a nerd, you know, you're a loser, you know, you're too fat. But instead to know your identity as being beloved of God. We think it's relevant for all ages, and so we're including all ages in our Vacation Bible School this year. Last announcement is this very afternoon, I head out to Westminster Woods. I'll be the speaker for the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade camp. I get to wear a rainbow-colored hat and go by the name The Wendy Beneath Your Wings. All week. That does mean that I won't be in the office and that I'm not around to meet with you. I will have some access to email, but I don't get phone calls up in the Redwoods. So John Collister is also a minister, although he hides out sometimes. If you have any pastoral care needs, I would encourage you to be in touch with John. I do have a pastoral thing to share with you all this morning, which is that Jeff Pribble was found dead in his home this week. Jeff is the guy who sits in this corner and has a prosthetic leg. We noticed he wasn't at church last Sunday. We noticed he wasn't at session on Tuesday. And Jane Sexton was concerned, and she takes care of his cat, so she had a key to his house. So she keyed in last night and found him dead on the floor. Yeah, you're shocked. I'm shocked. He was 63. Yeah. So we all found out last night, and I was at the house last night. So the family, I think, might come to the house today or tomorrow. So while I'm gone, John's kind of the main contact on that. And John, I've got more phone numbers and stuff for you if there are ways that we can be supportive to Jeff's family in this time. And supportive to one another and supportive to our youth and young people, because he was meeting with our young people every Wednesday night. I knew that a lot of them wouldn't be here this morning, so I sent a separate email to those parents so that they would be able to know and process as well. We never know, do we? We never, never know. Let's offer a prayer for that. Oh God, we don't know the number of our days on this earth. And yet we also know that we are precious in your sight. God, we know that you have Jeff safely in your home that has many rooms. And so we give you thanks for that. But we also grieve and miss him, his smile, his warmth, his conversations about his cats. And we miss his faithfulness and being part of this body. When one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And so, God, we are hurting this day, and yet continue to trust in you that you will heal and comfort and be with us in all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am invite you then to stand, and let's take some moments to pass the peace of Christ with one another. I invite you to remain standing, to turn in your bulletin or look at the screen, and let us be called to worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, glory to you forever. Speaker, word, and breath of life, glory to you forever. Font of blessing, living water, flowing river, glory to you forever. Compassionate mother, beloved child, life-giving womb, glory to you forever. Sun, light, and burning ray, glory to you forever. Lover, beloved, and love itself, glory to you forever. God who was, God who is, and God who is to come, glory to you forever.
Please pray with me the prayer of confession. Holy and uncontainable God, for trying to contain you, forgive us. Loving and limitless God, for trying to limit you, forgive us. Gracious and boundless God, for trying to bind you, forgive us. Sometimes we are foolish enough to believe that it is to our advantage to reduce you to something we can comprehend. Forgive us, Almighty God. Amen. And our assurance of pardon comes from Isaiah. Hear the good news. Can a woman forget a nursing child, her nursing child, or show no compassion for the child of her womb? As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Testament lesson today comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And in love.
our second set of scripture readings. Whoops. Let me try that again. Am I on? I dropped this microphone, so I'm hoping on. I'm not sure if it's me or if it's back there. I'm going to keep talking. Can you? It's on here. I have a green light here. My voice is back, but I still don't want to talk super, super loud. So try it. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Our second set of scripture lessons come from various different places so that we could look across scripture at some many different images of God. Here's God described as a mother hen, as seen in Luke 13:34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus said, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. The image of the potter comes from Isaiah 45:9. Woe to you who strive with your maker, earthen vessels with the potter. Does the clay say to the one who fashions it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? Those of you who have read the Chronicles of Narnia know that God, Aslan, is the lion. Here's the image of the lion from Hosea 15:14a. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. From 2 Samuel 22:2-3, and across many of the Psalms, God is described as a rock and fortress, sometimes even as a strong tower. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. Jesus in John 15:5 said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. And an image that was newer to me is clothing. Galatians 3:28. As many of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There are many other examples and images of God, but I wanted you to see them rooted across our scriptural tradition. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, breath of heaven, source of wisdom, wind of creation. Help us to interpret these words, the words of scripture, so that we might come to know the living word. Use my words and sentences, as futile as they are, to help us all grow closer to get a glimpse of your amazing and multi-dimensional presence. Amen. Have you noticed more discussions about pronouns lately? I received an email from the Reverend Talitha Aho. She is also traveling to Trianum, and we're coordinating. And she had on the bottom of her email, you know, you have signatures. So she had Reverend Talitha Aho, Associate Pastor, Montclair Presbyterian Church, the phone number, and a line that said preferred pronouns, she/her/hers. Or I was at the library, the Benicia Library, and somebody just had one of those little buttons, and it said she/her. This idea of preferred pronouns is new to me. And then I heard an interview with Benjamin Dreyer. He is the copy chief at Random House. So he was interviewed about pronouns, and I'm like, I gotta go get the book. 2019, this was just published, Dreyer's English, an utterly correct style to clarity, utterly correct guide to clarity and style. In his writing about pronouns, he acknowledged that we used to default to the pronoun he. A student may study whatever he wishes. And in the version of the Isaiah scripture, Margaret defaulted to he. But in the 21st century, and as Dreyer says as a copy editor, he recognizes that he is not an assumed pronoun. He says, quote, plenty of 21st century people will take umbrage and or feel excluded, and they'll do it quite rightly and righteously, and they won't all be women either. He then goes back and gives some options and history, remembering that as a copy editor, he started to encounter in some writings, starting in the early 1990s, people trying to find workarounds for the pronoun he. One of the choices was you could use he or she. A student may study whatever he or she wishes. Dreyer gives us a critique. It's clumsy. It's quickly tiresome. Second, people would try to alternate, maybe he and she in different paragraphs, or even sentence by sentence. Dreyer doesn't like this one either. It's well-meaning, yes, but perhaps vertigo-inducing. Some authors defaulted to she all the way through the manuscript, or like this, the anthem we heard this morning. She flies on, an image of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was she all the way through. There's also this weird construction of an S/HE, right? So it's trying to be she and he at the same time. Dreyer calls this hideous. He hates that one. And then he goes on to talk about the singular they. Okay, when I grew up, they was the third person plural pronoun. But the singular they, he says, a student may study whatever they wish. And that this has become a more and more common usage. And I myself have noticed I've started to turn to they as a singular a little bit more. And so some people, when they talk about their preferred pronoun for themselves as an individual, it's a they/them/theirs, because it functions as a gender neutral pronoun. There's another newer one. I've never called anybody this, but there's Z-E and Z-I-R, Z and Zer. And Dreyer, he acknowledges that for people of a certain age, that all this pronoun wrangling can hurt your ears and offend your sensibilities. And as a copy editor, he therefore was trying to avoid pronouns entirely. Can you use one? Can you use two? Can you replace it with a different noun? And he was tempted, even as the copy chief, the copy editor chief of Random House, to run like hell. Hearing pronouns debated in 2019 makes me remember the inclusive language debates that went on in the Presbyterian Church and other mainline denominations, also back in the early 1990s. For a while, it was the litmus test. What pronoun is that person going to use for God? And if you said he in your statement of faith, somebody was going to jump up and down and say something about it. All these discussions and questions, can you, should you, substitute our mother instead of our father in the Lord's Prayer? And now, even the word Lord, isn't the word Lord itself masculine? As I was researching for this sermon, I noticed that even 2 years ago, the Church of Sweden was having this discussion discussing inclusive language. They were working to update the language in their prayer book. Some of the more neutral headlines read, "Swedish church to start using gender-neutral terms to refer to God." Or, "Church of Sweden urges pastors to use gender-neutral terms for God to modernize services." The less complimentary headline said this, "Swedish church regenders God." Or, "Church of Sweden to stop referring to God as he or Lord." In one of the articles I read with folks critiquing this inclusive language, there's a Christian named John Piper who argued that the Bible leaves very little room for debate on the subject of God's gender. He says, quote, "God revealed himself in the Bible pervasively as king, not queen, father, not mother. And the second person of the Trinity is revealed as an eternal son, not daughter." Okay, well, yes, Jesus refers to God as Father, but I'm not so sure that John Piper and I are reading the same Bible. For yes, although God is referred to as King and Lord and Shepherd, God is also referred to in many names. And we read through a few of those metaphors today. God as a mother hen, reaching out in protection to try to gather wayward chicks who are scattering all over the place. And by the way, Jesus is the one who is quoted as saying that. I mean, even if you kind of want to go, parts of the Bible are more, you know, that's the red letter part. Jesus talked about God as a mother hen. In our assurance of pardon and from Isaiah, we get the image of a mother with a nursing child. How is that as an image of intimacy, of God's provision, an image of love, of nurture and comfort, and by the way, uses a couple feminine pronouns? There are also times that God is seen as inanimate, neither male nor female. God's the rock. God's the wind. God is the thundercloud. Or God as living but not human, like a plant. And this image of God as clothing, which is new to me this week, God is clothing us with God's own self. You think about God being as close to you as your t-shirt or your socks. You think about how your clothing projects some of your style and your identity and what people see of you. The image of putting on Christ like you would put on what you go out to wear in the world. The other thing that surprised me about Piper's statement against the language is that he assumes that God even has a gender. When we look back at the Isaiah passage that Margaret read for us this morning, we really get the image of God is God and we are not. Right? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are from the earth, right? My ways are higher than your ways. God is not confined by our human language or conceptions. Yet when the Bible was written, Lord and Father were terms of honor. And most terms of honor in a patriarchal culture refers to men. But that does not make God male in terms of gender. Way back in 1959, theologian J.B. Phillips, who also wrote a paraphrase of the Bible, he wrote a book titled, "Your God is Too Small." What he addressed in it was that people's attitudes and imaginations about God, and noticing that sometimes we can put God into a little pigeonhole. We can put God into a box. And he's prophetic in saying that our assumed conceptions about God are too small and actually are not the living God as found in scriptures. The error, therefore, is us imposing all of our ideas onto God rather than allowing God to reveal the fullness of God's self to us. So for us to make God in our image rather than allowing God to make us in God's image. More recently, Lauren Winter, professor at Duke Divinity School and author of Clothing, Laughter, Fire, and Other Ways of Meeting God, writes about how her many images of God and finding those in the Bible certainly made the Bible less boring for her because it sparked her imagination. A deeper dive into scripture itself led her into more and more ways that God wants to be with us. Sure, there's the image of Father, but what do you do if you didn't have a great relationship with your Father? And if that's not a loving image? And so then too, she asked provocative questions. How do our images of God draw us into worship, into reverence, into adoration of God? Do we pray differently when we pray to God who is King? Do we pray differently when we pray to God who is like a mother hen? I think that we do, even if we're not fully aware of it. So given all this, what pronouns do we use to address this God who is beyond our thoughts, who is known by metaphor and words and imagination? Are we aware and recognizing how our language does shape the God whom we think and come to worship? So I'm working harder, like Dreyer, to be careful with pronouns, especially in our worship of God together. Some of you have noticed the words of the doxology. It used to say, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below." Worship committee and Michael and I changed that like over a year ago. Some of you noticed right away. Some of you are like, "When did that change?" And instead of saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, this version of the doxology says Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. It was an intentional change to help us broaden our metaphors for God to not automatically default to He, but also some things remain the same. The Lord's Prayer, I'm not messing with that. We are still going to pray our Father, not our Father slash Mother slash he, she, ze, her. But I'm talking about this because I want us to be aware. Aware to not just default. But I would encourage you to use the language and the pronouns that makes your heart feel closest to God. If indeed He and God and King is meaningful to you and you have a close relationship with God, go ahead and say He, please. It'll be simpler, right? If indeed the image of love comes from your grandmother and she was the one who really did protect you and nurture you, maybe you try praying to God as she for a little bit. And maybe God will connect and speak with you differently as you invoke that image of God. Maybe it's God as it, like a rock, or even God as they, although be careful, it's got to be the they singular, because we talked about one God and three persons. So this is not they, meaning there are three gods. But if you use the they and use the they singular, I'll give you permission to do that as well, because Dreyer gave me permission to do that. And then also to recognize with respect that other people around you might choose to use different pronouns. It's about respect and listening and honoring one another. And that's where some of this pronoun stuff came in the first place. If you say, my name is Charles, other people don't get to just change your name into Chuck or Chucky. You say, my name's Charles. Please call me Charles. And I think the people who are saying, please use she, her, hers, or they, theirs, their, they, them, theirs, are saying, that's a way that you can respect me and that I am asking for. And I think it looks like love to be able to honor and respond to what people ask for. God's not here, so we can't ask God what God's preferred pronoun is. But I hope that today's sermon has helped us all to at least think about it a little bit more. Thanks be to God, whoever he, she, her, zer is in our world today. Amen. Amen.
I invite you now to please rise in body and spirit to join together in singing Bring Many Names.
Please be seated.
God is way bigger than we are. And I'm grateful for that. I'm really grateful for that. And so when we worship, we give ourselves to someone who is bigger than who we are.
Someone whose call and purpose is bigger than who we are. And yet also a God who calls us and invites us to participate in God's larger purposes. And so we invite you, as you are willing and able, to put yourself into God's greater plan. Let us share our tithes, our offerings, as well as our intentions and actions for the next week with God. God, we dedicate ourselves to you and to your greater work in this world. Show us our part and multiply our efforts by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The folks we are praying for this week listed in our prayer card are Pam Clark, and the Hernandez family, Kay and Frank and Clark, as well as Michael Zimmerman. Our deacon special friends are Dorothy Mayhew and Donna Minnick. Our military person this week is Eduardo Alvarado. Our college student this week is Serena Levin. Our mission focus of the week is Global Center for Success, which is connected to the Christian Help Center and are helping folks with self-sufficiency. There's also the current joys and concerns that are down there, and the people who have submitted things today. We certainly keep Jeff Pribble's mother and sisters in our prayers, as well as all who are in shock and missing him. Janet Craig has a celebration of the life of her mom, Harriet Cochran, who is now at peace, who is now not struggling or in pain any longer. Sandra Collister is asking also for prayers of comfort for Janet Craig and family as they grieve the loss of Janet's mother. Judy Sullivan is letting us know that Jerry is in the hospital. He's receiving IV antibiotics for UTI as well as tests to determine a cause. Carol Shiner has a celebration. My great-granddaughter, Vanessa Munzel, is visiting from Dallas, Texas. We are enjoying her. Glad you are here. Let us join together in prayer. tender and compassionate mothering God, you ask us to pray for your whole human family. Here we offer our prayers for our world in need, trusting in your great love. Gracious God, who is King and ruler, we ask that you would lead our leaders. Grant them your wisdom, that by their acts they may encourage the faithful and witness to the world and its people. Eternal One, ruler of the universe, sovereign God, we pray for those who govern every land and for the people committed to their charge. We pray that you would turn the hearts of leaders and peoples to you, that governments may seek the good of humanity and of all who suffer. God, you are the suffering servant, and we recognize that you walk in compassion with those who are in pain. We pray to you for those who are denied what they need to live, and those whose dreams have been shattered by war and disaster. Reach out and bring healing through the hands of your faithful people. Holy Comforter, healing Spirit, grant your peace to those who are sick. Radiate through their lives with the light of your presence, that renewed health and strength may be theirs. God of life and death and life beyond death, we ask that you would be with those who are grieving this day, including us and our church as we grieve the loss of one of our own. Comfort us, clothe us with a blanket of warmth and of peace, that we might know that we are not alone in our sorrow, in our anger, in our shock, but know your abiding presence with us. God of love that is beyond our love, we pray for our enemies, for those whose actions offend us most, and for those whom we have learned to fear and despise. Through your great love, make tender all hearts, hardened by hatred and suspicion, and work your justice among us. Lastly, O God, we pray for ourselves. You are hope, you are life, you are joy, you are love. Help us to put you on and to lead the life that you intend for us. And grant us your peace, peace which is not the absence of trouble, but the awareness of your guiding presence in all that we do. Hear us now as we pray, a prayer that is written on our hearts, and as Jesus has taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Rise in body or spirit and join together in singing our closing hymn, God of Great and God of Small.
grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and the love of God, and the company of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and every day forward. Amen.